I'm pausing because I'm just overwhelmed with what I really believe God is already doing in our midst. And I'm humbled by just the wonder and majesty of how God weaves his people and his message together. I'd like to invite that you open your word to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Joe will probably yell it out, but I'll get to it before him. 1,253. And as you're finding that, I'm just going to ask for a blessing on the word in this time. Father, without you, without your Spirit, even the Bible is just a book with letters. To a silly dyslexic like me, they can get all jumbled up. But when your Spirit is active, when you have prepared hearts, when you are in the midst, the words of a man become the words of God. The words on paper become the word of God. And this morning, Lord, we have come to hear your word. Lord, prepare our hearts. Send your Spirit that we might not only be ready, but that we might be changed by you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I know in the bulletin it says that we're going to be starting at verse 12, but I'm going to backtrack for just a moment. I'd like you to start right from the beginning of chapter 3, starting at verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, just hear that for a moment. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For we have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. We're going to stop there for just a moment. Therefore, what is earthly? We're going to stop there for just a moment because then it goes on to all the negative things that we put to death. And we're going to jump to verse 12. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Now, I am not really a big English major. I don't like all those articles and pronouns and prepositions and all those fancy words. I failed all those tests. But I do remember what the word imperative means. It is a command. An imperative is not, it would be nice if you would, or please. An imperative is, this is what you should do. Do it. When my dad asked something, it was an ask. When he told, it was a tell. And there was no mistaking the two. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, do this. Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord forgave you, so that you also must forgive. And above all, this put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you were called to in one body. And be thankful. Our focused verse. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Before we even get to the message aspect, this passage was not written to the people out there. This passage was not written to a person who actually needs the Gideon Bible at the moment, a non-believer, somebody who, this passage was written to you and I. And before we go any further, I would be remiss if I did not challenge this room. There may be somebody who has been here for 90 years who still has not come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I want this passage to be for you. I pray and my heart yearns. You know, there's a lot of us in this room today that we do have a relationship with Jesus, but unfortunately, it's a dating relationship. It's when things are feeling good. You know, the flowers, the chocolates, you know, Valentine's Day. But when the going gets tough or whatever, leave me alone for a while. I need my personal space. And that's not a relationship with Jesus. That's not to what a blessing it is to know that when we turn our back on God, He carries us. He does not let go. And my heart is being moved right now because I really believe that there are brothers and sisters who are kind of in Christ, who know all about Him. They've been in that Sunday school years ago. And this might be you. But there's never been, Jesus, I do. I take you to be my Savior, for better or for worse, in good times and bad. And if this is new kind of talk to you, you're hearing this and you're saying, what is he talking about? The God of all the universe is crying out to you and saying, I love you, and on your way right now without me, there is hell. And that young man who was a high school student who was given a Gideon Bible and threw it in the back of his closet knew that without Jesus, if that was a reality, that was where he was going because he did not have a relationship. He knew enough about Jesus to know that that Bible was there. And so bad do I want the next portion of this message to be for you. Because it says, if you've been raised with Christ, if you have a relationship with Him, then this passage is for you. So before I can go any further, I need to pray. Father, if there are hearts in this room today that have had a tacit dating relationship with you, move them beyond that. Lord, we know that a relationship is not all about the passion because that's emotion and it comes and goes. It is about the commitment. It is holding hands even when there's tears. It is loving even when there's pain. And you held us. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, when you said, if there's any other way, Lord, please no. But your will be done, not mine. We pray right now that if there are hearts here that fall into that place, that before this day is done, they would cry out to you and say, I need my God. I need a Savior because I can't do it on my own anymore. We pray this, not me, Lord, but as a body, because we care about our brothers and sisters who need to come into a deeper walk with you. Now, Lord, challenge us. Challenge us with the word that you wrote to us in your love story. Amen. You have been raised with Christ. If you are His child, the imperative, put on then as God's chosen and holy and beloved people. Now we get a list. compassionate hearts. Does your heart break? Does your heart yearn and break? You know, my mom and I sit watch TV once in a while, and we see these commercials that have, you know, those heartwarming music and songs and things, and there's some that are really very manipulative. There's one where there's a lady who must have fallen down the stairs, and it's for a life alert, and it even warns you ahead of time that this is going to be disturbing, and it moves my heart. And you'll see once in a while where the movie or the commercial comes on, and it's compassion and starving children, and you know, all of that's out there. Boy, it moves my heart. Sometimes it's easier for my heart to be moved for that than it is when my own mom is hurting or when my wife is hurting or my children are hurting. I even get moved when they have those animal ones where the little puppy dogs are like crying because they're cold outside. And sometimes it's easier to be moved by that than it is when my coworker is hurting. God, give me a compassionate heart. Give me a heart that I see the pain in someone's life and I care. I am moved with the heart of God to care. We have been taught in our world right now to hold people back, to protect ourselves. Don't let people in. I don't know what I did with my phone. These little silly, there it is. These silly things. They're so nice, I could turn someone off. I like it. Someone's hurting and I don't really feel like dealing with it. I'll just turn them off for a while. Heaven forbid. God, break my heart. If I've been raised with Christ, you want me to be something. You want me to have a compassionate heart. Let's go on with that. Humility, kindness, same vein. Humility. What is humility? It's not putting me first. It's not putting yourself first. Well, wait a minute. I want things done my way. I like that. If you don't know me, I am very opinionated. Hey. I like things done my way. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me. Maybe my way might be the best way, but it might not be God's way. Perhaps God doesn't mind a mistake when the cooking takes place, when one of my kids helps me. And the cookies get burnt or something doesn't quite taste the way I would have made it. But we spent time together. What was more important? The perfect meal? Or a better relationship? Well, wait a minute. This is about my cooking. No. It's not about me. Humility. Kindness, compassion, humility, meekness, patience. Oh, Lord, I'm not about to pray for that because I know what you do when I pray for that. But yeah, patience. Bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, in other words, they're wrong. They're wrong. Forgiving each other as the Lord forgave you. So you must. This is not an option. Remember, we're not talking about the people out there or the person who needs that Gideon Bible because they don't. You've been raised with Christ. This is not an option. You must. I must forgive the one who has wronged me. You must forgive the one who has wronged you. If you have been raised with Christ, you are like Christ, and Christ forgave. Are you better than Christ? Am I better than Christ? Oh my goodness. Could you imagine the guile, the haughtiness of thinking that way? I wouldn't dare. You wouldn't dare. But when we don't forgive, that is what we're saying. If I do not forgive somebody who has wronged me, I am saying I am better than Christ. I don't really want to be called Judas today. That comes at Monday, Thursday. And above all, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. That is us, the church, one body in Christ. Because of his blood, we have been made one. And the attitude of all this, I remember an old pastor down in Jersey. The attitude of gratitude, that was his famous phrase. The attitude of gratitude. God gave us kind of a to-do list. But the to-do list has an attitude that goes with it. Not begrudgingly, not, oh, I got to be compassionate now and I got to forgive. It is a joy to care. It is a joy to forgive. It fills your heart with just an overflowing peace that passes understanding because you are being like Christ. Satan would try to deceive and teach that, you know what? These are things that you have to do. These are things that we ought to want to do because we want to be more and more the image bearers of our faithful Savior. Not because it is something that earns our way into salvation. That was paid for on the cross. It is a done deal. Whether you do these things or not will not add an extra star to your crown. It will not give you an extra serving at the banquet table. That has been purchased and paid for in full. What is going to take place is that your hearts will overflow with the Spirit of the ever-living God, because you are being more and more what He has already created you to be. When you try to be something you're not, there is emptiness. When you try to put a puzzle piece where it doesn't belong, it doesn't work. And our world does not belong in sin. We do not belong in sin. We were created to be the children of God. And when we live the way God designed us to live, oh, that doesn't mean that there's no pain. It doesn't mean that there's no hurt. It means that there is a peace that passes understanding that the world will not know until they kneel before the cross. And now, that almost sounded like an introduction because I'm going to say it's our focus verse. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You know, we live in a world right now where this culture, we are so blessed. Let's just take food for just a moment. I'm embarrassed where I work. What I serve people is garbage. What I watch people buy at the Stewart's for lunch, Slim Jim, oh, Red Bull can, where am I going with that? Reese's Peanut Butter Cup, good lunch. Where am I going with that? We are so rich, and yet we live like we are paupers in the sense that we waste what God has given us. We have the opportunity for nutrition in this nation beyond the wildest dreams of anybody in history, beyond most of the people in the world. We could go to the store and eat so well and so healthy. We eat all that processed garbage. And we deny our bodies of the nutrition that it should have. And we have God's word. And we're okay to have a little bit on Sunday to get us through the week. We're okay to have a little bit maybe on in the morning before we go to work to get us through the day. But do we dwell in the word of Christ richly? Do we let it flow into us and through us and learn it and live it and love it moment by moment? Yeah, I'll have a little serving of spinach because I have to. But ooh, these other books, they're a lot more tantalizing. Yeah, boy, those Reese's peanut butter cups and these Harlequin romance novels, and whoo, I'll spend a little more time there than I will in God's Word. Joe submitted an article to the newsletter, which I hope you all get. The article is about John Wesley and how he filled his life with doing what God called him to do and studying his word and writing commentaries and writing hymns and preaching sermons and writing sermons. And I read the news article already, and it brought me to my knees. When I think about the amount of time that I waste, the amount of wasted hours watching the silly boob tube, as my father would call it, or maybe playing on some video game, or just doing nothing, when I could do so much more for God. And when I read the life of a man like John Wesley, and I see what he accomplished and how he managed his time, do you manage God's word? Do you spend time? Do you care enough to richly dwell in it? Or are you a pauper? You have all the opportunity in the world. You've got the spinach and the kale and the broccoli and the carrots and beans. You have the opportunity before you and you have the means to digest and enjoy and be nourished by God's word. But boy, that Game of Thrones episode, I got to watch it again. Boy, that next episode of whatever, game show, Jeopardy, I don't know. They're calling my name. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with some good entertainment. But if you stacked your life and looked at the time and energy and finances that you put into things, where does God stack up in that? Humility. Putting others first. God's word. Is it that little itty-bitty significant kind of portion of spinach that you'll eat once in a while because you know you have to? Or is it your main diet? Is it your meat and potatoes? Is it where you live and move and have your being and rest? And that Reese's peanut butter cup is a nice little side note once in a while. That little processed pizza bite, yeah, it's fun once in a while. Those are those little extras that are not bad in moderation. But I want the goodness that God has for me. And when we do that, when we let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, we now have the ability to teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. How can you, how can I teach and correct our loved ones, ourselves, our neighbors, if we haven't first immersed ourselves and dined on God's word? How can we think about telling somebody to shape up and be strong when we are so out of shape ourselves? My friends, the greatest gift God ever gave was his son on the cross. But he has given us so much more. He has given us His Word to help shape us, to mold us, to comfort us when we are hurting, to give us wisdom and strength when we need it, to tell us to behave when we need it. And all too often, we squander it. I pray that we dwell in it richly and not just dabble in it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your only Son to die on the cross that we might live. We thank you so much that you did not leave us alone, but you sent your Holy Spirit to guide us. And we thank you so much that you've given us your holy, written, inspired, and errant word, that we might know you better, we might understand what you want from us, and how to live for you better. Lord, we need you, because as wayward children, we don't always do what our Father tells us to do. So, Lord, I'm going to pray a scary prayer. Do whatever it takes to bring us as your children to be more in compliant with your will. Lord, that's a scary prayer. Do whatever it takes to make this church more compliant with your will. Do whatever it takes in my life and in the lives of my brothers and sisters that we might be more faithful to your word and your will. We pray this with fear and awe because you are the sovereign God and you are able. Amen.